What's up, everybody? This is Tom McCaffrey. Welcome to LE2B, Last Exit of Brooklyn. I'm here with Eric B. What's up, buddy?
I'm excited to be here. This is a good show.
This is going to be a great show. Before we introduce our guest, real quick, rate and review this podcast. Please subscribe. Please join our Patreon for bonus content. We're sponsored by Silk City Hot Sauce. So go to silkcityhotsauce.com, and if you use the promo code Brooklyn, you get 20% off all your silky hot sauce.
That's a good deal.
It's Eric's favorite hot sauce. He won't stop talking about it. So we have a guest, an old friend of ours, hasn't been on in a little while.
Returning champ,
Alex Becerra. What's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, guys. Good to be back. Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow.
We got to see the audience as your left.
That's your audience? Wow.
Yeah.
They sound a little mechanical, a little weird.
No, they're real.
Yeah, they do my Zoom comedy shows. They come here. They're very busy.
Yeah.
Oh, they are very supportive. I have heard of. Yeah.
They stop on a dime. Mm-hmm. So how you been? I mean, I have seen you a few times doing stand-up, mm-hmm. but I hadn't really talked to you in like over a year since the pandemic, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Catch us up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I might need help because I'm trying to remember when we last did the podcast. It was the start of the pandemic for sure.
Yeah.
So
it was definitely like into April.
April,
we were on
May.
That channel, Storic Media.
Right. Yes.
And so, then we left because they didn't meet our.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
No,
okay. A renegotiation of $1 million an episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, your writer was just $1 million every
year.
Yeah,
so, yeah. We wanted Rogan money. We couldn't get it.
Right. So since then, a lot has gone on. I mean, obviously, the pandemic, like the brunt of it, I feel like was after I had last spoken to you. But
when did you start doing stand-up live again?
Oh, my God.
I've seen you at Eric's shows.
End of April probably was the first time I went back. End of April? Yeah, because I think everything kind of officially started to come back April 3rd or something like that.
April 2nd, yeah.
April 2nd, yeah. So I think end of April was like my first live show. But before that, I've since gotten a girlfriend. We're going to a wedding next weekend, so it's like,
nice.
Like that's super official, you know?
That's a big step.
Is it your wedding?
No, not yet. Okay. Thank God. No, I don't know.
You're taking someone else to your wedding.
It took me a year to call her my girlfriend. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to call like anyone like my wife. That would be kind of. I feel like we're all in the same boat there.
That would be weird if it took you a while to call her that if you got married.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's my
for
girlfriend.
Sure.
Yeah, that's Yeah, so you've been, is this your first wedding you're going to together?
Yeah, it is. So that's a big step. We're going to Chicago. We're flying out, spending money on flying.
That is kind of a step in a relationship, right?
Yeah. Big time.
Plus, you're at the age where a lot of your friends are starting to get married. I remember that age, and it was kind of annoying and expensive after a while.
Yes, so I'm definitely not going to every wedding, but this one's going to be good. It's my freshman roommate. He's like a rich guy. And they're gonna do like a crazy blowout. I could tell.
Oh, nice.
So they have like a party before, then they have the ceremony, then there's like a after party, but then the next day they're doing like a whole 4th of July barbecue at his house, and he's got like a sick house. So like I've never been there, but I'm excited to go to Chicago and just like have a good time.
And in about 15 years everyone will start getting divorced.
Right.
Yeah.
There's less people though than I would have thought. Like I'm 29 turning 30. And I still would say 85% of my friends are not married and have never been married.
Right.
Is that happening? Are people just not getting married as much?
I honestly think you don't get married till you're 30. Don't even consider it.
Think about it. Yeah. I agree.
I mean, you can, but.
Have you been married?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
I think we've talked about that. Yeah.
And I didn't know if I was like allowed to say it or not, though.
No.
I just kind of was like, have you been married? how long were you married?
A few years. Well, I think I got married. I don't know
how old.
Yeah, how old were you?
I think a little, not 30.
Okay.
That's why. So you that was, yeah. So that's what you got to do.
That's how I say my age now.
Oh, yeah.
How old are you? Not 30.
Plus 14 or whatever.
Yeah. But one thing I'm not is 30.
Yeah. But I think I was under 30 when I got married, and that was a bad move. Had I waited, maybe I was like 6 months before 30, so I should have just waited those six months.
Until you would have been a lot more ready those 6 months later.
You were right around my age when you got married, though. I'm like 6 months away from being 30 almost exactly.
Yeah, think about yourself right now and think about how not ready you are for marriage.
Yeah, not ready at all. Definitely.
Are
not.
You? Yeah. Are you not ready? Like, do you feel not ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Do you feel
like want to get? Do I feel no? Yeah, which is insane because I'm like old.
That's why I threw it back at you. That's why I threw it back at you because, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to feel ready.
Well, I mean, it's weird. I feel like I came out on some other side of, like, I definitely don't look at it the same way. I think, you know, when you're young and you're like, I would marry that girl. Like, you see a hot girl, there's a lot of that shit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it might be different but, you know, I think when I was young, like, you know, 24, 25, there are a couple times I met chicks and I was like, oh God, we need to get married. I'm so in love. You know, and like now I'm just like, no, I don't. Like, if fucking like Kate Upton was like, you want to get married? I'd be like, yeah, let's give it a few months. You know what I mean? Like,
I think when you get to a certain age, it's not even about marriage anymore. It's just like, will I have a kid? That's kind of like the last thing. I mean, marriage is not even important at that point. You're like, should I reproduce? And, you know, when you're a guy, you have a longer window on that. So you can
also, it's like, what is marriage anymore? Yeah. Unless you're going to have a kid, it's just kind of, you know, when I went to law school, I kind of found out it's just a bad contract.
It's like a binding legal contract. Yeah.
That kind of favors like women more than men.
Yeah.
It makes sense that women want to get married, really, because it's a advantageous contract to them. Like, it's, they have all the good parts.
I think it's more the top earner, right? I mean, I do think that women get the child custody more favorably.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I think the money thing, it's like, depends on who makes more. So in your example of Kate Upton, I would probably do that deal because she makes probably more money than you.
Yeah. Yeah, that reminds me of that. You ever see that Seinfeld episode? Remember when George didn't want to get married to that woman, Susan?
Yeah.
And so he's looking for ways to get out of it. So he's like, oh, Kramer says, ask for a prenup agreement. So he asks her and she laughs at him. She's like, I make more money than you.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
That's how it's funny. You know, I feel very Costanza, like, the older I get, how, like, he's always, anytime he's in a relationship, all he's talking about is how to get out of it. Right. Wasn't that always his thing? Like, anytime he's like, God, how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
Same with Jerry, too. I mean, the whole show is like finding faults in their partners. You know, like, she's a close talker or a loud talker or has man hands or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm.
Do you have, do you think that something happens older, like, just when you've kind of, because it seems like a very romantic, you know, like, all that stuff is very romanticized young because you haven't really been around someone long enough to realize that everyone's going to annoy you at some point. You know what I mean? Like, you have this idea of, like, this is the perfect person, and like, they're always going to be amazing. We're always going to want to be together. But as you get older, you're like, oh, I know that something's going to annoy me, just because eventually anyone's going to annoy you. Like, no, anyone will. You know what I mean?
Yeah, go ahead. I
was just going to say, are you like that now already? Or because I'm older, I feel like it got worse for me older.
I'm not sure if it's going to get worse for me as I get older, but it's definitely like that infatuation thing that you were talking about, like my early 20s, where you would meet a girl and you would like fall completely in love with her. And like she's all you thought about. And like, you would just like obsess over when she's going to contact you next and stuff.
Right.
That I don't feel that anymore ever for anyone, which is good because I think that probably is what people get married to sometimes, like, and make a mistake,
totally.
Like, you know, like early 20s type of thing.
Well, you know what happened? I think that, like, if you live in West Virginia or something like that, in that point, there's not a lot of options. So you actually dive into marriage. You actually get married.
Right.
And then they all get divorced when they're like 30 or 25. In New York, I think some of the things that save you is that you know, even if you get infatuated, if things don't go well, you're like, ah, I don't need to get married. I can just find someone else.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's and it's always funny because, well, so what I was thinking is how, like, younger, you know, the things that you, you know, are looking for primarily are probably not the right things. And like,
right,
you have no, well, I didn't experience. And it's funny because, like, I would go out with these chicks that I didn't know at all. And then I'd be like surprised that it didn't work out. And I was like, I don't know. How did that not work out? I mean, she had huge tits. I mean, what, like, I don't know. Like, how did that not like become a thing? Like, that was like all I was like basing that. I mean, it's like, you know, when you're younger, it's like very looks, you know, oriented. And
oh,
then
for sure.
Older. Yeah,
I think you grow a lot, like when you, in your late 20s, like Alex, when you hit your late 20s, you get normal. But I've talked to some comics recently who are like in their early 20s, and their shit, they're talking about women. They're so infatuated and every fucking thing is the biggest thing in the world.
Yes.
And I just, I kind of yell at them. I'm like, dude, what do you think? You're going to get married now? I mean, like,
no, you're going into show, but you're trying to get into showbiz and you're getting married at 21.
Yeah.
Like, not
gonna happen. The girl's giving me playing head games. I'm like, just fucking don't, just leave.
Or just don't care. Like, if you don't care, try, like, she'll probably fucking love that.
Yeah.
Just like, don't give a shit now, but you can't, because think about when you were in your early 20s. I mean, it does have a hold over you. I was such an idiot. Yeah.
I had that thing. I was like, I would marry her, you know, mm-hmm. And it's like, I've seen her once.
I think, don't you think, you were saying it gets worse as you get older, but don't you think it's like more of a mature view of like...
Yeah, no, it is. I think it is. Being older, it's better because, like, you know, now what I was saying is like, it's different, like, what's important, you know, like now you'll be like, oh, I actually, like, you know, don't mind being around this person. You know
what
I mean?
That's
the big
thing.
You start realizing like, oh yeah, that's kind of a thing I should factor in, is like, I'm going to see them a lot. So
right,
there should be something beyond.
I always think that just with any people, like if you like someone, like 70% of what someone does, 70% of them, that's a pretty good, you know, that's enough. You know, some people want it to be 100%. I think that just is not fit. Realistic.
That's another thing, older too. Yeah, like you start realizing, like, oh, I'm just, you're not gonna get most things you want. You know what I mean? So you have this idea when you're young of like, I have to have everything. I think it's also a USA thing, an America thing.
Maybe, I don't know. I do think it's a young, it's like a mature versus naive thing. And what Eric's saying is like, that's definitely true, and it's a good way of looking at it. Like, even with like your friends or your family, you don't like. Enjoy either of those people more than what 50-60-70% of the time. Like, I mean, if you
like
really do have a
time.
If you have a mom or a dad or a brother that you 100% of the time love, like, I mean, that's got to be the rarest thing of all time. Like, maybe identical twins have that.
Yeah. I mean, I hate myself most of the time.
Exactly. I would hate my identical twin. I don't even know why I brought that up.
Well, you know, I was thinking, you know, there's a big thing where people are like, oh, I don't know why I'm so hard on myself and I hate myself at times. But like, it kind of makes sense because, like, you know, we were talking about, like, I can remember the first time when I was young and I had like a friend like come over for the weekend or something. And like that first realization of like being around someone too long, where you're like, you know what? You're really annoying if you're around all the time. I need to get away. And with you, you never get a break.
You don't get a break.
Like, so you're always with you. Like, you know, there's no like, look, I need to, that's why people, I think, get into drugs and drinking. So like, you know, I need a break from you. We're going to like have someone else check
for it. Sure. For sure. It's a way to change your own personality and your own sort of outlook on things.
Right. It's like you're drinking because, you know, when you drink, you like other people more. It's kind of a way of tricking yourself into liking you and wanting to hang out with you again. You know, so that's why drinking alone doesn't seem like the strangest thing to me.
It's like, not. It does get a. It's not great, but it also.
It's not, I'm kind of kidding, but yeah.
Right, I know you are, but it also does get a weird. For the amount of times people probably do it, it's treated like it's like almost. It's not quite. I mean, this is going to be an exaggeration, but it's treated like a super creepy thing to do, like almost like. I don't know, like jerking off to weird porn or something. You're drinking alone, you know, like, and it's like, I don't know. I do think it's more normal than that. Yeah, but it's also, I don't do it that much or anything. I'm not a big drinker, but I do love weed and I smoke weed by myself.
I was going to say, so like, you know? What do you, I feel like weed is different to smoke. It, like, I
well,
feel like
smoking, well, I think smoking weed alone to me, I mean, I don't really smoke weed.
It's kind of the best way to do it.
No, but it's also like, it's like drinking a beer or two alone. Like,
right,
it's,
right.
Drinking a beer or two alone is not bad. You're not right. Getting wasted when you're fucking alone. Oh,
that's
alone.
A problem. See, yeah. That's the, yeah. When you say drinking, I don't know what you mean. Yeah, if you're talking about, I don't know, multiple like shots or like half a bottle of liquor. Yeah, that's
yeah. If you're just drinking, like, and you're like, you just want to get drunk alone in bed, and then you end up crying. That's probably bad. Yeah. But yeah, like I never was one of those. I just want to have a beer and like sit down and watch TV. I was more like getting high alone is like can be fun because then you watch something and it's like funny. You know,
the benefits of being high are totally accentuated when you're alone, whereas the benefits of being drunk, it's all about like social.
Yeah,
like, you know, you want to be like talking and, you know, maybe like you're more confident with the opposite sex or whatever. But like with weed, you're actually like less confident and less socially like down when you're high. So,
yeah, so one of the comedy clubs I work at, they have a late show now that's like at 12 midnight. And they're getting some people, and they used to get a bunch of drunks in there, you know, and it got really rowdy and stuff. But now they're getting a bunch of people who are high, and the crowds are much better. They're not high audiences don't laugh the same way. They kind of miss things, but at least they're calm. Yeah, but at least they're calm and they're not throwing shit at
you. Yeah, and if they heckle you, they probably won't heckle you, but if they do, they're not going to have any good...
No. High audiences don't heckle because they're too self-conscious. They're going to be thinking about their own... They're like, oh, that's stupid. Don't say that, you know?
Right. It's...
I think I'd rather perform in front of a high audience than most definitely.
When they're not too drunk.
I mean, if they're... You know, the best audience is like slightly drunk, but not tipsy. Fucking hammered. Yeah.
But it's a real fine line too, because you could catch them on their way to getting fucking trashed, and it's great. But by the time they're trashed, it's like chaos. You know, yeah. I've hosted shows where it's been like that, where you see the progression of like when it goes bad. You know, especially for not whole shows, but you'll see pockets of people kind of fall down. Like you'll see them like by the second hour or whatever. By the time we're wrapping up, like they went in too hard or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think high people heckle that much. I can't really pinpoint a time when.
I don't think they would. And then, have you done stand up high?
Yes, I have. I don't love it. I don't love it. I've done it. Okay, like depends on the show too, right? So like I've done the stupid, like I don't want to say stupid, but like those weed shows where. Like everyone, the host is smoking, you're smoking. So it almost feels like if you're not high, you're like not in the vibe with them. So that, you know, obviously time and a place. Yeah. And I think it's good to sort of be slow on those sets. But I don't like if I'm trying to do like something where I would want to tape it and send it out. Like, I mean, definitely don't want to be high for that. And then also even just like at a regular, like a standard club set, if you're telling me like everything's equal, you just have a normal club audience, I would say, yeah, I'll get high after the show. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say
there's a difference between those shows where maybe people are high and those actual shows where they're smoking up. I've done those, and those shows are fucking hard. They're ridiculous. Like,
I don't think those are hard. When you get high with them, it's great.
I don't. So it's,
you mean
I
just, the show yeah, where like, problem. The gimmick is that you have to get high? Is that what you're
it's
talking
not
about?
That you have to get high, but it's like Eric. I don't know the names of the shows, but there's a few people that run shows like that. I don't know. There used to be one downtown
where it was kind of like in this basement, and it was I kind of thought it was like an opium den.
I've been there.
Yeah, and it's just everyone's fucking smoking and like just smoking while you're on stage, you know, and they have fucking plastic bags over their heads.
Is this the place I have been or no?
I don't know. I mean, I did it a few times, and every time I did it, it was just
they
horrible.
Used to have that stuff at like Creek in the Cave. They used to have shows like that.
I could see that. I mean, I've never done one at the old Creek, but I know a guy, a Courtney, he does some shows where it's like a blunt thing. And then even Reg Thomas has that show with Jordan Rock with Productively Stoned, where it's not like you don't have to smoke, but all the comics are smoking. So right off the bat, if you're not hosting or something and you're just focused on your set and everyone else is getting high, I think it actually makes it easy because then everyone's all on the same page. Like everyone's feeling a little high. You could always kind of like sneak into that, you know, or like get into that vibe. And then And then it's kind of a built-in excuse, which isn't like, it's like a built-in safety net. You know what I mean? Like if you're a little slow or if you're like missing a little bit, like it's fine because everyone's high. So are you. But like if you're trying to do like rapid fire jokes, they're going to miss them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we've been doing an offshoot of this, a podcast like for bonus content.
Oh, nice.
Called Plot Smokers.
Is that true? Really?
It's just, it's basically just like someone will come on and they get high and then they have to like describe a plot of a movie and then kind of like answer trivia questions. So
shit, I would love to
can do that at some point. It's like
that'd be cool.
I've only done it twice. Inception was the first one.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That one was pretty funny because the guy didn't know anything at all and he just couldn't stop laughing. And then Dirty Dancing, I just did.
Was that which one was, who'd you do Dirty Dancing?
Dave Brzezinski, he's this comedian friend. Oh, yeah, I think him. You met him. He kind of has like a funny voice. I thought he's a very like abrupt, like gruff kind of voice, like and he's just kind of very blunt about things. He's like he kind of talks with like an accent, like, hey, yeah, how you doing? So like I thought Dirty Dancing would be a funny one for that kind of a guy to describe.
How was the one with Gordy?
That was the Inception one. That one was funny. It's just he couldn't stop laughing the whole time. And he just didn't, I mean, he felt really bad about it, but that kind of, I told him, I was like, that was kind of the whole point. That's why I picked him, because I thought it'd be funny that he wouldn't, because Inception's a hard movie to describe even if you're not high. You know,
you sound high when you're not high when you're describing Inception.
Yeah, because it doesn't really, and if you really, I really like it.
Doesn't
that movie,
really make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. There's so many things that you're like, yeah, I don't know about that.
You think that's a good movie? I think I only saw it once.
I loved it.
On what scale? Like, is it an all time good movie? I mean, I would say it's good, but I thought it was better probably immediately after I saw it. I thought, this is like an all-timer, and it kind of wasn't.
It hasn't really held up. Like, I don't think it's terrible now, but people don't talk about it that much anymore.
Yeah, because I think Eric's right. I don't think many people are like rewatching Inception.
I really liked it when it first came out. Like, I saw it in the theater like four times.
Shit. Damn.
I just thought it was like a really, you know, and it was one of those movies that if you saw over and over, you caught something else in it.
Sure.
But it's not something like when it's on, I don't want to watch it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm not like, oh, because it's such a long, it's long and it goes kind of like.
And you know the end. You just know that ambiguous ending. Like, whereas like other movies, you know the end, but that's not even the point of the movie. Whereas with Inception, it's almost like the point of the movie is at the end and then they don't even tell you what it is. So it's
I will say I appreciate it now because it was a very kind of like, it was like a hard movie to make, and it was kind of like an interesting premise and original. Yeah. And they don't do that anymore. You know,
that's
like
true.
A big budget, like original story. That's
they're
very,
too afraid
like,
to do that now.
Now, and I mean, with all this pandemic shit, where like they couldn't make money. It's because Fast and the Furious like 9 just came out, and it made like $80 million. So it's like
it's such a bad
movies are just done. They're just gonna be cars.
Oh, so it didn't. You're saying it didn't do $80 million?
No,
obviously,
no, it did.
No, it did. Meaning that. That did well. That's the formula, and that's what we're going to get.
So now it's just there's going to be no, like, it was already moving in that direction of nothing original. All the original good stuff is all the streaming stuff now, TV.
Yeah,
TV. It's weird how that's switched, how now movies are shit.
Yeah, I mean, the same kind of shit happened to a lot of different forms of media, which is weird, like, because you would think the internet would have sort of made things, like a more, like, avant-garde selection more popular, but it kind of just created little audiences for everyone.
Yeah, that's
but like the mainstream has gotten more dumbed down. Mainstream everything, mainstream music, mainstream not mainstream TV has gotten better, but mainstream movies, mainstream music, mainstream news, mainstream arguments, mainstream
well movies they just can't afford to like they
I know.
Have to make money from
I know.
People who don't speak
China.
English.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they
yeah, can't. And I think and we still forgot like during all this year, I think HBO is Max is still putting out all the Warner Brothers stuff. Like I keep seeing these movies pop up, and I'm like, these movies would have been in the theater. Not that they're good, but
no, you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah. There was a movie that just came out like 2 weeks ago, right? And it was on HBO. What was it? It was like I was like, oh, I think that's supposed to be like a good movie. I forgot what it was. But okay, so can we talk about this real quick? So the building collapse in Miami. That's all right, like
let's hear the clip.
Listen, you have actual audio of it?
I think he does.
I blew it up myself.
Search and rescue underway in Surfside, Florida continues, where a 12-story building partially collapsed this morning, just a few miles north of Miami Beach.
Yes.
Sorry.
You're about to hear from that gentleman.
Oh, you want
to
hear what he says?
It's
very sad when you're dealing with people that don't know the outcome of their family.
So it's pretty sad. So.
Yikes.
Yeah, that guy had a really good take on that. Yeah.
He actually did. No, that's is, dude, there's like over 100 people like unaccounted for.
The sad thing is they keep saying, oh, there's like 3 or 4 dead and there's 100 something unaccounted for it. I'm like,
they're just not confirming it, but there's over 100 people dead.
But so, I did read a story today. They were saying that when they built this building, they fucking paid bribes for permits. Construction permits. They're already looking into the background of this building, and these guys
who was the contractor? Trump.
Yeah, they cut a lot of corners. And there's another building that's this like right next to it.
Yeah.
And those people are terrified because it's like that building just went down, and the other people are living in the other building right next.
Yeah, because didn't like half the building just go like stay up or something.
No, that whole building has been evacuated. But he's right. There's like a twin building right next to it that's like on the same land and like the same structure essentially.
Imagine being a real estate broker for that second tower. Like everyone's fucking moving out now. There's no way you're staying there.
You gotta get the fuck out of there.
Yeah,
I mean, for sure.
Like there's a view now. It's really good.
It's a discount.
Come on, enough time has gone by.
Hey, come on, hey, that's like your only sell.
No, it's the thing is, like, didn't it happen like 4 days ago? I knew it was a big, like, it was a crazy story, but it's really, why does it have such staying power?
It's the largest building collapse death toll in American history.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think these stories resonate because everyone feels like, hey, do I live in a death trap? You know, stories like that really hit home, I think.
That's got to be crazy. I mean, like, you're just at home, you go to bed, and then didn't it happen in the middle of the night?
I don't know. I did see footage of it. I can't remember if it was day or night, but it happens so fast. It's creepy, man. The whole building falls in on itself before anyone like could have done anything.
Did they say how long it took or just
seconds? You could watch it happen. There's a clip.
Wait, really? There's video?
Yes. There's a video of the, I don't know, Eric, can you pull it up and show us?
I'll look for it. But you can't really, if it's just audio, it's not going to really help.
Yeah, no, just audio won't help. But Tom, you can look it up on your own time too. It's just like, it's disturbingly quick how fast it happens.
And so the bottom part went down, right?
And it's just because it was built poorly?
They don't know yet. They think there's a few theories out there. Obviously, the fucking structure needed work and they didn't think, what I heard is they knew that they needed renovations. They didn't realize it was like imminent collapse was even a possibility.
Right.
Like they thought they were fine on that front. They were just like, they already signed the paperwork to do the renovations. They were just not rushing necessarily because they didn't, think they needed to. And apparently somebody fucked up there. They also, someone's looking into like, their scientists are looking into like, was there a possible sinkhole underneath the structure?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of those. Those sinkholes where like someone's car gets enveloped or something like that?
Bro, they've had some in Asia that like a whole fucking intersection will just fucking collapse in on itself. That's
just
crazy.
Yeah, I've seen stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
You think that's the worst way to die, like in a sinkhole?
I think a building collapse, you're sleeping and then you feel yourself fucking dying like that I don't want to.
I know that's what's
out.
So
that's
crazy,
so
just
scary.
Sleep and then all of a sudden, dude. Oh my god,
and it was like whole families, dude, babies and fucking old people, like it was just a ton of people in there, man.
It's like stuff like that whenever I hear, I'm always like, it's
brutal.
You realize like what a baby you are. I'm like, god, I'm such, and I'll be like, it was hot last night.
yeah
The air conditioner wasn't that strong, it's just like I feel like all I do is complain about nothing.
This made me feel really scared to live in a building, though, like just in general. I know that's like irrational, but I kind of like, now that I'm living in Jersey and everything, I kind of felt good about it. I was like,
what floor are you on? Like,
I'm
how
in
many
a
floors?
Townhouse on the first floor, like first, second floor type of situation.
And how many floors are there?
There's three. There's someone who lives above me.
Oh, all right.
But I'm pretty much like ground floor, essentially. Nothing's happening. It's a townhouse. It's like
just sleep with the window open.
Even if it did collapse, we'd ride it down.
Just
it would be,
I see. Just move pleasant. It a little, your bed a little more to the next to the window, and then just jump right out.
Yeah.
I get worried. Like, I think it's just not buildings, but tall buildings. Like, right. I would never want to live. Like, someone was telling me the other day they lived on the 47th floor of some building in New York. And I'm like, nah, I wouldn't go past five. I don't even care. Yeah.
That's like, when I get in an elevator and it goes over 15 floors, it freaks me out. Yeah. I get like two, because then it starts shaking and ugh. Yeah. That really,
you know, it was scary. I used to work on the 46th floor and, yeah, I would think about it. I was spending more time in the office than I was at like my apartment. You know, like you're like there 8 to 10 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I hated that. I did hate, like, it was nice. You got the nice view and everything. But like, what if something happened? And we were in the middle of Times Square. So like the people that worked in 9/11, like there were so many people that just like happened to work on a high floor and just got absolutely fucked because of that. You know, no affiliation to anything, no political, no... That didn't work for any, it didn't sign up for any fucking disaster to happen. They just worked in a big building. That's it.
But in this case, were the people on this building, the people on the bottom, did they get fucked or was
I think
top?
So. I think, I think everyone, I don't know. You know what? I would like to do some more research on this. Maybe people that listen could write in if they, I don't know. But I'm not sure. I would imagine the case was anyone that was living there, staying there at the time of the collapse might be unaccounted for right now or dead. Like they pronounced them dead or they're still looking for them because
they said how many there's like over like 150 that are
it's
missing.
Something. Yeah, it's like in the it's over 100. So I don't know exactly. But how
and
could
it's
you
been
survive
like 5 days? Right. So
I don't see how you could survive. The whole building collapsed. Right.
Who were the people that survived? Like, how did they?
Well, the people that weren't there, they're accounted for. That's why they're saying not accounted for, because the people that were accounted for are either like not staying there currently, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's people that had to even like, let's say you had a house sitter or a pet sitter, someone watching your cat, and then they went missing because they were the ones in the apartment. I mean, I'm sure there's enough families and enough people, enough apartment units that went down that there's all sorts of situations, I bet.
Yeah. The one that Champlain Tower South was built in 1981. That's the one that collapsed. And then the tower north was built in 82. So that's the one.
I was going to say, I'd get out of there the next year.
You got a year right there, basically, to get the fuck out.
That is not that old, though.
I know. Fuck. It's crazy. Yeah, it's like...
let's say these guys did cut corners and stuff. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I know that they want to save money and stuff, but you figure that's going to come back to haunt you at some point.
Well, also, but the thing, cutting corners, you would think it would like collapse faster than that. Like it would. I mean, that's still a long time. Like, I don't know. I mean,
oh, okay. Sorry.
What is cutting corners? You've made. Go ahead.
It's up to 11 dead after partial building collapse, is what they're calling it now. So I guess there are some people that could have survived it because they're not calling it. It's a partial building collapse.
But, yeah, like because half the building didn't fall, right?
I guess. Yeah.
That's another thing. You're just sleeping and then like the wall just falls.
Yeah, you live on the 11th floor and you wake up, you're on the third floor. You know, something's wrong.
Yeah, geez. You're like, man, I must have been really drunk last night.
Yeah, not even that big of a building. 13 stories.
Oh, that's not big.
Not big at all.
13, man. That's fucking lame, man.
I know. I was going to, well, also like.
I think I can build a 13 floor building. I mean, come on.
How could they not make this work? It's not that much.
Only they just made it 12 floors because unlucky 13.
Yeah, they don't even do
some
that.
People are really superstitious about that, you know?
Yeah, there isn't ever a 13th floor in a place, right? You go to a building, they always skip the 13th floor. At least they used to.
Yeah, usually. Mm-hmm. But like I wouldn't, I don't know. I'm kind of superstitious, like more than I would like to be. Not as much as I was really superstitious, which is kind of...
When? Well, if you went to a hotel, would you ever stay in room 237?
Is that the Shining room? I think that would be cool. I think it'd be cool. Actually, you know what's funny? Coming up on July 4th is like, you know how at the end of The Shining they show him like in a picture from like the 20s, mm-hmm. like the hotel is kind of like eating him or whatever. the date on it is July 4th, 1921. So this is going to be the 100th anniversary.
Where, how did you find that piece of information?
I was listening to a podcast about The Shining, and they...
There's a whole podcast about
They do movies. They go over movies.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me, by the way, if there was a whole podcast about The Shining.
Yeah. So this is a quick thing. Speaking of that, because you're bringing up things like the 13th floor and 237. So I'm a big Friday 13th franchise movie fan. Do you guys like those know them?
Well, one quick question. Would you ever stay in room 227?
In 227? Yeah, definitely. That sounds like Gibbs. That would be great. Only if Jack Hay was in there, too. and Barry Sobel. That was like the worst show ever made. But I went to Connecticut this weekend, and we were driving there. I was driving there with my girlfriend, and I was like, wow, this kind of looks like... I wonder if they filmed like a Friday 13th movie here, because it looks so creepy. And then... I looked it up, and they had filmed Friday 13th Part 2 right where we were. Yeah, and so I drove around to all the filming locations, because people write online, what it looks like now. And I went to the actual camp where they, filmed the second one. Mm. And the girl I was with, she said her brother went there as a kid to that camp. But I was thinking, isn't that weird? Imagine finding out years later you went to the camp where they filmed one of the Friday 13th movies, but you didn't know it, because I don't think they were telling anyone.
No, I don't think that'd be good for business.
Yeah, right? They probably wouldn't want anyone to know that. I was wondering that. You wouldn't want to know that there's a horror movie about kids getting killed at your camp, right? Hello?
No, I just want to see if Alex.
Oh, Alex.
I was reading through the story here. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. It's freaking me out. They're talking about they're searching through air pockets of the building, and it's freaking me out because they're thinking people could still be in there. But at this point, it's been 5 days. So even if they were, they would be.
How long could you even survive? Can you survive 5 days without water?
I think that's about the amount of time. You're definitely dead by 5 days. Right?
It's funny too. That's another thing. When I think of stuff now, when people get stranded in movies and stuff, now that I'm older, I feel like I would last 2 days.
Yeah.
How fast would you resort to cannibalism if you were trapped somewhere?
I couldn't do it ever. I know people say, oh, you would eat. You definitely would eat. I would not eat a person. I wouldn't be able to.
Tom would even wait till lunch. You would.
I would fucking die. I can't eat a human being.
I would start eating people before they weren't even dead. I'd just start... that's another funny one. Did you see that movie Alive? Do you know what that is?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
It was with Ethan Hawke, and it's based on a true story with this soccer team. Their plane crashed in the Andes or something. And so they had to eat them and stuff. And I saw that movie, and it's kind of it's a serious movie, but it seems so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Because you would get hungry, and then it wouldn't it be just sort of absurd eating, Be like, hey, can you pass the Jeff?
If you had a resort to...
Who ate all the Steve? What is this?
All right, but let's say, gun to your head, you had a resort to cannibalism. What body part would you start with? What would ease you into cannibalism? You had to pick something.
Man, I don't know. I guess something that would be the fat of like a rib, kind of like that area.
I think an ear wouldn't be that bad.
I think I know what you guys would eat first.
What would you do?
The balls. That's what you guys would eat.
The balls are a delicacy. Classic. You got to wait for that.
But again, they probably wouldn't even have to be dead before you guys start doing that.
right. We're gay.
Totally. I feel like... if I was stuck and I had to resort to cannibalism, I probably still wouldn't eat pussy.
There it is.
Be like, nah.
Real talk would... I wouldn't even think to cook the pussy. I wouldn't even have thought we're going to eat pussy.
Not even al dente? You wouldn't go with al dente?
I wouldn't even have thought that, but that's going to be the first meal. You just asked that question and I didn't think pussy at all. I thought ribs.
Right.
Fucking, you thought ear. Nobody wanted to.
I think an ear is like a soft landing in there because it's like cartilage and, you know, yeah. It's a little chewy, you know, I don't know.
I bet the worst thing to hear on that first night, you know, when you all decide to, you know, resort to cannibalism, like, what's for dinner? Hot dogs?
Oh, God. Because, I thought you were going to say something very different. I thought you were going to say, like, the Mr. Softy truck is like, the worst sound you want to hear when you've already eaten a human. Ice cream? Like,
or no, yeah, just to look over the cliff and there's like an Arby's there's like right there.
Fields of
You're literally like a mile away from your house.
Yeah.
Exactly. Holy shit.
I can't believe what have I done?
Hey, how you been? Hey, where's Bill? Well, you know.
Yeah.
His dick's gone. We had hot dogs last night. Yeah, that one again. Sorry. but that was an interesting tangent to go on. How did we even get on that? Oh, because of the people that are
stuck,
like,
in the air pockets. Yeah.
Right. I don't even know if cannibalism would be an option, but just
when I see, like, you know, Castaway, I really like the movie. I was just rewatching it, you know, and
it's a great movie.
Him. Yeah. And it shows him kind of like,
did he fuck the ball though?
I would fuck the ball.
Did he fuck the ball?
Yeah. He definitely. Yeah, probably, they should have had a scene where he's just fucking the ball. You know, they should have had a scene.
Wilson, right? I mean, they needed something to play at the Oscars.
Honestly, though, what a brilliant scene that is. I mean, really, like,
which one?
The Tom Hanks screaming at Wilson when Wilson floats away, and like, you really do when you're watching that movie, you feel bad.
Yeah,
for the
ball. That's a good example. I saw it. And again, like, they would never make that movie now. They would that was like a $60 million movie. Yeah,
for a straight white male to be the only star.
And also, exactly. And like that, literally, he's just on an island alone, not talking to anybody. Hour.
Isn't there some point though he starts talking because he's talking to the ball, right?
That's it.
Well,
but that's a movie. Like, when I saw it, I was like, "That's that was shitty." And then, like, as years have gone on, I just thought it was. I didn't love it. I thought it was like okay, but like now, I think it's a really good movie. I think it's like older. I've learned to appreciate, because there's a lot of nuance and stuff. I saw it when I was like 26, so it's kind of like I had no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great director.
You know, like, when you're young and you watch movies about people that are older, and you're like, Field of Dreams, did you ever see that?
Yeah, I saw
that when I was like 17, and, you know, everyone was like, it was just a acclaimed movie, and I was like, I watched like 40 minutes of it, and I was like, what is this shit? Like, it's just some guy who's like in a cornfield, and he's like upset, and then I saw it when I was like 38. That's kind of how old he is. I was like, oh, now I get it. Like, life doesn't go the way you want it.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally, I had that moment, because at 18, I was like, what? So, like, what is this? Someone's dreams didn't come true? How would that ever happen?
I both of those films I watched at a much different time than you, like, because when they came out, I was much younger, I guess. Or, like, I saw Field of Dreams. I don't know when that came out. That might have been even before.
80s.
Yeah, so that came out before I was born, but I saw it when I was, like, 7. And then Castaway came out when I was, like, 7, and I saw that in theaters. So I was, like, a child.
Did you like Castaway as a child?
I did. As a child, I liked that movie. Yeah. Yeah,
it was pretty good.
I think it was easy. That's how good that movie is, like, a child could understand it, but also it's, like, a profound
movie. Robert Zemeckis. He did great films. The one thing about Field of Dreams, I don't know if you remember that movie. Do you both remember it?
I vaguely.
Field of Dreams, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things in the movie is he's told by the cornfield to kidnap an author, and it's played by James Earl Jones. And James Earl Jones is supposed to be this famous author. Apparently, in the book, the author who they kidnapped was supposed to be J.D. Salinger. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Catcher in the Rye. He never gave his rights to anything. He would never, Catcher in the Rye could never become a movie. He never gave his rights to anything. So in the book, so he makes this guy who's kind of like J.D. Salinger.
Terrence Mann.
Yeah.
Yeah, they pick a guy who's like J.D. Salinger's black guy.
But like like a recluse, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. Terrence Mann. I do remember when I saw that, I assumed that was like a real guy. I was like, okay, I guess that's a guy, a real author.
Well, do you remember those things? J.D. Salinger, he would have this aura about him. You know, he was this recluse. He had this one great book. And then you're like, you know, had this aura about him. And then, like, I think a few years before, after he died, they found letters from him and stuff like that. Do you ever remember those things?
No, but I do remember they made a documentary and they found all this stuff.
Yeah, but he was kind of like, when he was old, he was just like an old grumpy piece of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all that luster and all that aura went away because he was just some old crabby guy who was like, you know, yelling at clouds and shit, you know. That stuff, you know,
like, when these damn queers. Like, all right.
Yeah, they all turn into every great artist turns into kind of like a, you know, if they don't die young, eventually some senile old.
Well, also, it hasn't really come out.
An angry old dude, you know,
especially if you live like the life of like, yeah, like a recluse kind of fucking.
Why is that this? Because, you know, he was like he really did. He became a recluse and he resented it when people would bring up Catcher in the Rye to him. Like people would find him like in his name, you know, in his town and be like, that book like changed my life. And he was so always like dismissive of it. It's really weird how, like, I don't know that he disowned it. Like he thought it was bad, but people will do this great thing and then they get like mad about it, you know, when people like it too much, you know what I mean? I never understood. I mean, I guess I could get it if it happened to me, but
yeah,
I don't really. Or like, you ever seen this where like there'll be a really great movie that you love and one of the stars is like, yeah, I don't understand it. I hate it. Like that's always weird to me too.
But the thing with Salinger is he didn't really have many more books after that, you know? So
what do you have? Like Franny and Zoe or something?
Yeah. Short stories. He also had a lot of short stories.
Yeah. The nine stories.
Banana Fish or whatever.
Yeah. That's in nine stories. But those are the only three I can really think of.
He was like no Stephen King, who probably just wrote three books in this last five as I'm talking to you. You know, it's like. Right.
And then he tweeted about Trump or something. That guy does a lot of stuff.
Stephen King has written three books in the last hour, and Clint Eastwood has directed four of them.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood's like 92 years old making movies.
Yeah.
There's no way he's directing the movie.
No.
Like, because you just imagine, like, just pointing, like, yeah, he wants you to do it again. And they're good. They're usually like pretty good movies.
Well, I think in the case of people like that, this is what I've kind of heard, is like they're there, they're watching over things, but they'll have some guy who really is more part of it.
Right.
And he'll set everything up and then just go to Clint Eastwood and say, does this shot look good? And he'll be like, yeah. And then
he doesn't know where he is.
Well, because you want to put it, well, you want to use his name. You use the Clint Eastwood name. You could even maybe come up with an original script because at least it's a Clint Eastwood movie that maybe we'll have some you know,
I mean literally audience. Remember when the Republican convention when he was talking to a chair?
That was what a weird thing that was, right?
That was 10 years ago and he's still directing four movies a year.
That's wild. Yeah,
that's so good. I heard he's directing a movie. He's 92. It's called Who Left the Window Open. Someone turned the TV down.
That sounds like a fucking riveting movie. Can someone turn the TV down? There's three acts and everything.
Someone
I love
it. The TV All right.
Woody Allen was going to probably pass him, you know.
He was.
I think he still is making movies, but not in America. But, you know, Woody Allen.
I heard that he just.
Well, the documentary that you guys saw that, right? I'm sure you talked about it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was pretty damning.
Oh, yeah. No, that was insane that he raped everybody.
I don't know. I don't know if we could like 100% say that, but it didn't sound great. I mean,
right.
Didn't help. I mean, it was a little damning.
No matter what you think or what happened, just 2 hours, 4 hours or 6 hours of people saying you raped a kid, like that's going to stick a little bit.
I mean, no, like,
no, it didn't happen. Really, I saw a movie where they said it happened a lot. They said it for 6 hours. Yeah, that's kind of going to like pierce your brain a little.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's at the point where you have to like believe that everyone's conspiring against Woody Allen, or he is a pedophile.
But you know what's funny too is, you know how everyone's always like, oh, now I can't watch anything he does. I never was that huge a fan, I just watched Annie Hall. I'd never watched it like 2 months ago, and I was like, it's good.
You could watch things. I do understand when people say that, but I think that's your decision as the viewer of the art, whatever type of art it is. If you decide that you don't want to support that person anymore because of what they did, then fine. But I don't think you can tell everyone how to fucking view art. Yeah. You know,
no, I think
stupid.
I think they mean.
Did you pay to watch Annie Hall? Did you pay for it?
Yeah. That's a good question.
I don't know. I don't think I did.
Was it on TV?
No, it was on. I did. It was a streaming thing. Like the girl I'm dating kept telling me to see it, and I guess I had seen part of it as. And I mean, I was like, I didn't. The thing about a movie like that, and this is a thing, like a problem when you watch a really great movie way too late, is like by the time you see it, it's totally lost like its originality because you know all the movies that copied it. Seeing it, that's a reason, like
when it's Harry kind of
a good
Sally. Argument.
It's like if a good movie comes out, you have to see it fast because. Especially nowadays, because everything's so quick that it's gonna get ruined quickly. So like Annie Hall, I was like, yeah, this is good, but I mean, I wish I'd seen it before I knew, like what movies, you know, like romantic comedies were, you know, because there's so many tropes in it that have been copied, like talking to the camera and stuff, or having like a weird skit in the middle of, you know what I mean, like a scene.
And it's hard to really talk about it because you know people are like, you're just seeing this now, you know.
I know, yeah. Hey, I just saw Annie Hall, you guys.
I think of Jim Gaffigan used to have a funny joke where he's like, you ever just bring up a movie that's really old and you just bring it up to friends?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, because like, you guys like ever see... Did. Yeah, but he goes, you guys ever see Heat? And they're like, Heat? Like, that was a movie with Al Pacino.
Yeah. Just saw it. I want to talk about it.
But at least we're like, doing it in context. We're talking about Woody Allen, you know?
No, yeah. But my whole point of it was that, like, I wasn't a fan, and now I'll watch things after they're already ruined, and I'm like, oh, that was pretty good. It didn't have any effect on me at all. There was someone else that happened with.
Basically saying you could separate the art from the artist, all that stuff.
Yeah, right? And also I was going to say a lot of something people do that's really annoying is when they go, a movie that's been out for 30 years. Like, I haven't seen that. All right, don't ruin it. You know, I'm like, you've had 30 years. Like, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you what happens at the end of Titanic.
Yeah, spoiler alert ends after like a year. You don't even get a year.
You get it. Well, I feel like it's fair to give someone a year from the initial. Maybe that's too long. I don't know.
All right. So I think we're going to wrap this up. Alex Becerra, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks
again.
For having me on. Yeah,
and you gotta do the Plot Smokers one.
That would be good. Yeah. Let me know. Maybe we'll Does the person watch the movie? Do they get to watch the movie before the?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like, I think it's good if you watch it like within the week. I think for you, we're gonna do Alan v. Farrow.
What?
I'm just
Alan v. Farrow. I heard that as one word for some reason. I was like, are you speaking English? I literally heard it as like Alan v. Farrow. Yeah, just like as like an avant-garde word.
I think that'd be a good, that'd be a really light episode. Okay, so thanks again for tuning in. Thanks for coming on, and we'll see you on the other one. And again, rate and review, subscribe, and please buy Silk City Hot Sauce. Use the promo code Brooklyn, and we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Later.